we took upon ourselves, right, to bite off a little less than we've bitten off over the last few times. So hopefully, we'll be at the same point at the beginning and the same point at the end. Okay, we're holding on the bottom of Daf Amidays and Amidays. What we've seen is the shita of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan disagrees with Ula, who says that when you have Malchus and Mammon on the table, Ula says Meshalim ve'eino Lokeh. Rav Yochanan takes the opposite approach, Lokeh ve'eino Meshalim. We have Eid Zomein. We have Chovel. These were the proof texts of Ula. So these are viewed as befeirush Ribsa Torah. These are the exceptions. We have rules. We have exceptions. You can't build on the exceptions. You build on the rule. And the rule is what he learns out from the Smilas Parshios of Mishum Risha Achas Arboim Yakenu. That's the rule. And we have two exceptions. Eid Zomein is an exception, and Chovel is an exception. The problem is that Ula has an extension to the exception. Namely, Ula says that we have this Gzeres HaKosuv of Tachas. That Tachas pulls the din from Chovel into other areas. How far it's pulled, that's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosos. According to Tosfos, we pull it into Ones. That's all we need. That's our stira within the Mishnah of Makos and the Mishnah in Ksuvos. So we pull the din of Chovel into the world of Ones, and then we set it up that the Mishnah in Ksuvos, that's the rule of Ones, that we have Tashlumen, and the Mishnah in Makos is an Ukimta of Bogeres, Shota, Mafuta, etc., and only there do you get Malkos. What does Rav Yochanan do with the world of Tachas? According to Rashi, Tachas moves us into Kol HaTorah Kula, that we have this chain, Gzera Shava. It begins with Tachas, but then it moves over into Kesef, into Notzein, etc., and what we find in the beginning of Baba Kama, and that applies to all of Kol Shemishpat, all of the world of Dini Mamonos, are going to come under the rule, the extension of Chovel. So that's the question on the bottom line of Daf Amid Beis and Amid Beis. Rav Yochanan, my time lo amar kula. Why didn't he use this again? Either why didn't he use the Gzeira Shava, or what does he use the Gzeira Shava for? We saw two lashonas in Tosfos. Tosfos does Yeshanim. So Rav Yochanan answers in Kain bitalta ervat adchotcha lo. In other words, that were we to extend the din of Meshalim, the Eino Loke, to the world of Ones, then we would be Mevatel the Lav. Now we have a Lav of living with a sister. Ervat Achoscha Lo Tegaleh. That's a Lav. A Lav implies that we have Malkos. What would happen to those Malkos? We can't have a Gzeira Shava to erase a Parsha in the Torah. You know, it's like if I were to give you a Gzeira Shava that Chametz is Mutar on Pesach. That's not a Gzeira Shava. The Torah says black and white, the Chametz is Aser. We don't have a Gzeira Shava to override, to overrule that which it says black and white in the Torah. So we can't have that. So the Gemara asks, but Chovel b'chaveiro name, im kein b'italta lo Yosef pen Yosef, et is omen mzame, im kein b'italta v'haya im minakosa Russia. In other words, so what kind of question is that of Rav Yochanan? I beferish ripsa Torah, Chovel and et zomen for tashlumen, what about the lavin? You know, so in other words, why are you more frum in terms of the world of Boel Achos than we were in the world of et zomen and Chovel? So the Gemara answers, no. Eidim Zomemim, Efshar L'Kiyume Ben Gerusho Ben Chalutza. Chovel V'Chavero Namika Kiyume Gon Hiko HaKosh Ein Vokshav V'Pruta. Anyway, what we did was we limited the Makos. There is still Makos in the world of Eid Zomem. There is still Malkos in the world of Chovel, just not in all cases. In Eid Zomem, the Malkos will be in a case of Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, where you can't be Mekayin Kasher Zomem. Then we'll give the Malkos. Where in the world of Chovel, when you can't be Mekayim, the Tashlumen, because there is no Tashlumen, you are Chovel, someone less than a Sheva Pruta, in a Chinami, there'll be Malkos. So the Gemara says, so that'll also answer the question that Rav Yochanan asked. also by achoso, he can namely kiyume be achoso bogeris. So when there is no knas, we're going to have the malkos of ervas achoska lo segale. Ella amar lachev. I mean, according to the gears of the Bach. Ella Rav Yochanan haitachas asher ina mi boele chidabai. Again, so the first attempt to answer the question that we can take that Tachas can't override a pasuk in the Torah, we pointed out that nothing is being overridden over here. All we're doing is simply limiting the Lavin, limiting the Malkus to certain areas. So what then is the problem with Tachas? So Rav Yochanan says, no, I need Tachas for another purpose. Tachas asher ina mi boi lechad abai. Amar abai, amar kora, tachas asher ina, hai tachas asher ina michlal di'ika boshes upegam. Namely, that in the world of ones, without the concept of tachas, I would have thought that maybe these chamishim shekel is a payment which is all-inclusive. It not only covers the... Not only do we have over here a fine, but this fine also includes whatever boshes there may have been to the woman, whatever pagam there may have been to the woman, all of that is included in the chamishim kesef. Kamash malan, no. Tachas asher ina. The chamishim kesef, the knas is for the act of rape. But aside from that, leaving aside the act of rape on which there is a knas, there's also boshes upegam. Namely, the tachas is coming to explain to us that the fine doesn't include boshes upegam. The fine is aside from boshes upegam. V'ula, how does he learn out that halacha? He uses tachas to extend the world of tashlumin as opposed to malkos. He learns it midirava dama rava markrava nosan ha'isha shochev ima la'avi hana'ara. Shochev ima, we already know that this man was the individual who was intimate with her. Why does it mention again that shochev ima? Why does it mention again that he was boil her? That chamishim kesef is hano'as shchiva. V'nosan ha'isha shochev ima la'avi hana'ara chamishim kesef. Hano'as shchiva chamishim. The chamishim is the fine for the act of rape. Mechlal de'ika boshes upegam. Aside from that, there's boshes upegam. So both Abaye and Rava have psukim to point out that leaving aside the unique halacha of ones, we also have to view this poor woman as having been the victim of an assault. She was also assaulted. She was raped, and that rape included an assault. And on that assault we pay, that's chofel, on that assault we pay boshes upegam. That's not included, the payment of the assault is not included in the fine of ones. Okay, so that's why we need tachas according to Rav Yochanan. So the tachas that Ula uses to expand the din of meshalim as opposed to malkos, according to Rav Yochanan, no. That Neshalim as opposed to Malkos, that remains by Chovel and by Eidzomim. Those are the exceptions. The Tachas is used to help us understand the nature of Tashlumei Ones, that we have to view this woman from a dual perspective, from the perspective of she was raped, on that she gets Chamishim Kesef, and the part of the rape was being assaulted, and on that she's going to get Boshes Pagam on top of the Chamishim Kesef. Okay? So Ula agrees with that halacha. He just learns it out from a different pasuk, from the words Shochev Ima. That teaches us that the fine is for the rape, the Shochev Ima, and on top of that, there is money for the assault. Atka. Fine. Okay. The Gemara itself is quite clear. Tosfos, Mamish, these are Pshatei Tosfos. He points out, the Gemara seems to assume on the bottom of Daf Amid Beis Amid Beis, The Gemara seems to assume that every lav is going to have malkos. And if how can you take away the malkos from the lav of Ervat Achoscha Lo Tegalef? That's the kasha of Rav Yochanan. Tosfos points out, not every lav has malkos. There's a lav Sheimo Maisa, there's a lav Anitam Latash Woman. Tosfos points out, no. In other words, we're talking about situations of Rabbim that normally do have Malkus. This is a Rav Sheyesh B'Maisa V'chulei. That's the Havamin that should be taken away. And then it points out that in the world of Ben Gerusha or Ben Chalutza, one gets Malkus as opposed to Kasher Tzaman. So here Tosfos is bothered by the same question that anyone who learns Malkus at the very beginning is bothered by, that one of the rules of Eidus, in order for Eidus to be able to be accepted, it has to be Eidus she'asa yochol lahazima. There has to be that in the background, the person knows that he, you know, if he's lying, he's going to be punished tit for tat. So in Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, there is no tit for tat. There's Malkus. So the answer, of course, is that is the Kasher Zamam. Right? In other words, that we can have a Kasher Zamam of the onish that was intended to be framed, that's going to bounce back on the individual. But when that is not shayach, then the Kasher Zamam consists of the Malkus. The Malkus are a kiyum of Kasher Zamam, and as such, it's an Eidus Shatiyach Olazima. The third Tosfos, when you the moment they use tachas for the local halacha that an ones on top of the rape also pays for the assault, what about the whole sugi in Baba Kama that the tachas is used to teach us that all the tashlumen of kosher mishpat have to be paid the meitav, they can't be paid with jelly beans, they have to be paid with money. So he says there are other words that can be learned out from. And then the Tosfos, Dibur Hamaschil V'Ula, and here we have a problem within Shas, that here it appears that we're linking Abaye with Rav Yochanan and Rava with Ula, but Ula himself and Bava Metzia really holds like Rav Yochanan. So the answer is there's no problem, Lushitas Tosfos. The whole Machlokas Ula and Rav Yochanan according to Tosfos is limited to the case of Ones. The moment you go to Kol HaTorah Kula, then of course in Parah V'Doshba, there even Ula agrees to Rav Yochanan that lokev ve'eno meshalim. Ula only within the world of tachas included ones. So the fact that Rava holds like Rav Yochanan b'chol ha'Torah kula, according to Tosfos, is not an issue. Ula also holds like Rav Yochanan b'chol ha'Torah kula. Okay, so Tosfos over here, 1, 2, 3, 4, just shots, you know, within the sugi. Yes.
What would we say for Rashi?
What would we say for Rashi? So one can simply answer the fact that Rav Yochanan learns like Rava doesn't mean that Rava learns like Rav Yochanan. In other words, the fact that the Gemara connects two Amoraim, it could be a one-way street, not a two-way street. Tosfos assumes that the Gemara is connecting Rava and Rav Yochanan. Kind of read, not only does Rav Yochanan hold like Rava's limud, but Rava holds like Rav Yochanan's principle. You don't have to say that. You could say Rav Yochanan will learn the pasuk of Tachas like Rava, but Rava can hold like Ula. Not every equation has to be a two-way street. You can have A being relying on B, but B doesn't necessarily rely upon A. That's what you can, I mean, I think the question is, what pushed Tosfos? Mashma de Rava Sarvala Ula, de Rav Yochanan Gufe, etc. I'm sorry. The fact that, I should say, the fact that Ula uses Rava doesn't mean necessarily that Rava has to agree with Ula. I'm sorry, I switched the names. But the principle is that you don't necessarily have to have a two-way street. Okay, our problem is not with the Gemara, but with the Rambam's interpretation of the Gemara. Had we been learning the sugya, and we said the Beirush Ribsa Torah, Chovel, that you pay as opposed to getting Malkos, how, without the Rambam, how did all other Rishonim learn that the Tashlumen of Chovel override which Malkos? The Malkos of Chovel. Right, that within Chovel, theoretically, you get two punishments. We have a lav, Baal Tosif, Pen Tosif, we have a lav, and we have Shifto Yita and Rapo Yerapa, etc., etc. So the fact that we say you can only get one and not the other, and even though B'chol HaTorah Kula you get Malkos as opposed to Mammon, here we get Mammon as opposed to the Malkos of Chovel, period. But if there's Malkos for some other reason, so why not? In other words, there's no reason why not. They're coming in from left field. Risha Achas means no double jeopardy. You don't give two punishments for one crime. But if there's another crime, right? This isn't Kamle Midravine. We're not talking about Misa. If there's another crime with Malkos, you get the Malkos. If you're Chovel on Yom Kippur, okay, so for the Chovel, you would pay. But for Yom Kippur, you get Malkos. In other words, there's no reason why not. But the Rambam says no. The Feirush Ribsa Torah that we have over here, according to the Rambam, a tremendous chiddush that the mamonos of Chovel override all malkos that are in the picture, even if those malkos are coming from left field. That's the Rambam in Chovel Umazik, Perek Dalet, Halacha Tes. Hachovel b'chaver of Yom HaKippurim afilu b'mezid chayef b'tashlumin. Okay, fine. Apal pi she'avar aveir shechayev of Malkos. V'halo ha'machui of Malkos b'tashlumin lo keveino m'shalim, shenel m'loko m'shalim. Kachem ha'dvarim b'kol chutz mechovel b'chaver of. Shehu m'shalim. Hare the feirish ripsa Torah chovel b'chaver of l'tashlumin shenema rak shivto yitain. That the tashlumin of chovel override all malkos that are in the picture, all malkos, even if they're coming from a totally different source. Where did the Rambam get that from is unclear. It's unclear, because from our sugya, it's not necessarily shot in our sugya, but that clearly is the sheet of the Rambam. We have a whole perek to learn, that's we're going to return to the world of Kovel. Maybe we'll find it later on in the perek. Big time, we haven't seen it, okay? This principle of the Rambam, but that's the Rambam's principle. The problem is that principle in the Rambam, and over here, again, this is pointed out by the Achronim, not by the Rishonim al-Atar, but by the Achronim, that principle would seem to override or undermine, pull the rug out from under Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said that the Mishnah in Makos is a case of Bo al-Achoso Na'ara Besula, and that in that case we get, if we have Hasra, we get Malkos. Malkos from the Lav of Ba'al Achoso. But we have over here Chovel. We pointed out that every time you rape a woman, you're also assaulting her. It's also Chovel. So we have Tashlumei Chovel. So how can we understand the Mishnah in Malkos according to Rav Yochanan? And we paskin like Rav Yochanan. And the Rambam paskins like Rav Yochanan. How can you say that the Tashlumin of Chovel override all Malkos, and still in the world of Baal Achoso, we have Tashlumei Chovel that don't override the Malkos? What's going on over here? That's the question that everyone asks, Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Or Sameach and the Stipler and the Vechule, they all ask the same question, and they all come up with permutations on the same answer. What is the basic answer that they're going to offer over here? What misunderstanding do we have about the world of Boshes and Pagam? Right, that we understand Boshes and Pagam as categories of Chovel, that this woman was raped and assaulted. And we're saying, no, this woman was raped. Within rape, there is also a category of Boshes Upagam, which is not coming from the world of Chovel, which is built into the world of rape, of Ones. Where do we see that in the Torah? That's Abaye and Rava Nachlamet Yemo Medalev. Tachas Asher Ina, V'nosan La'avi Hana'ara HaShokhev Ima, that the Torah implies that within the world of rape, there is also a payment of Boshes and Pagam, that the Knas is only for the act of Bia. But aside from that, not that we have, again, when we read the Gemara, we said, not only is there rape, there's also assault. We're going to throw, it's like an American law system, they're going to throw a number of accusations, I don't know what to call it, at the individual, that you raped this woman and you assaulted this woman. Now we're saying, no, you raped this woman. For rape, we have in the Torah a chiyuv of knas and a chiyuv of boshes and of pagam, that they're implied by the tachas asher ina according to Abaye, they're implied v'nasan havia narala isha shochevima according to Rava, that we have these additional payments. What is it? Okay, and therefore, this is not a stira within the Rambam. The Rambam says that when you have a payment of boshes and pagam due to assault, that overrides Malkos, even if those Malkos are coming from left field. But within the world of Boshes and Pagam, within the world of Ones, the boshes has begun within the world of ones. That's the knas of ones. That's part of Kol HaTorah Kula. And in Kol HaTorah Kula, one gets malkos as opposed to the world of tashlumin. Malkos overrides tashlumin. That's the principle Kedei Rishaso, Arbaim Yakenu. We view this as part of Torah Kula, part of Kol HaTorah Kula. We don't view it as a din of Kotel. But what does that mean? In other words, you could say the words, right? But what do the words imply? I mean, this woman is suffered a loss in terms of her in terms of her worth. She suffered shame. In other words, what does it mean? This isn't coming from assault. It's coming from rape. What does that mean? So yes. Sure. Yeah.
Isn't the way when I was reading the Marash Kotel, the way that it was learning the Rav Levi was that the default is, in other words, we have something that tells us that specifically this the 50 is Arnis Nas, but the default is there's a Boshet and Bliyam.
That's not like the Rambam.
Right.
Correct. The Rambam understands that the Torah is teaching us that within Ones, in addition to the payment for the Tachas Asher Ina, in addition to the payment for Haisha Asher Shochev Aleha, she also gets Boshes Upigam. That can be. In other words, we ask, what does Rabbi Yochanan do with Tachas? So he says, so Tachas teaches us and uncovers that the world of Ones, the payments are larger than we would have thought. We, you know, you could have thought that the payments of Ones, that somehow the Boshes and the Begam are included in the 50 shekel. Kamash Malon, no, that on top of that you pay Boshes and Begam, but not Boshes and Begam from Chovil. Boshes and Begam of Ones. But what does that mean? What's the difference between, in other words, the world of Chovil and the world of Ones? In both of them, an individual is being hurt. In both of them, an individual is being assaulted. In both of them, an individual is being damaged and shamed. What's the difference? Why would we take ones in a totally different world? I mean, the feminists would be all upset at this gemara. Like what, you know, what's going on over here? This is not an assault? Yes?
Eventually wants to give it to her tzulin, and she wants to give it to somebody that she cares about and she wants to be with, and so therefore it considered it like a kind of property that she could trade and buy, and therefore it's more considered like mamon and damage rather than like somebody whose limb is injured and they never want to. They don't
want to
give up their arm, they
want to
get rid of it.
Okay, in other words, the parasha of Chovil is a personal injury in an area that a person would never think of being injured. No one thinks of having his nose broken. No one thinks of having a black eye. No one thinks of having a broken arm. Anyone who does that to the individual is violating that individual's totality, and he has to pay. He pays 5 payments. It's considered to be a very serious issue, Chovel. It's not just a question of property damage. It's not like you're burning down his house. You're doing something to his essence. You are violating his essence by doing A, B, and C. However, in the world of a woman who is a betula, those betulim were never meant to remain whole for her entire life, like a person's nose was meant to remain whole, and his arm was meant to remain whole, and his eye was meant to remain whole, etc. They were meant to be removed. A woman can't become pregnant while the betulim are there. A woman was created in order, or part of her ontology, is to be able to give birth. They were meant to be removed. However, the woman wanted it to be her decision as to who would remove them, under what circumstances, etc. That, in other words, that is her prerogative. That is her privacy. That this individual is now taking away that decision from her. He has decided to remove it the way he wants to remove it, in his way, in his time, etc., rather than the woman deciding how and who and under what circumstances this is going to happen. That is not chovel. It is a crime. It is a very serious crime. The Torah, in addition, you know, we have over here also additional payments. We have a knas on top of the boshes and the pagam. But the boshes and the pagam are coming from a different place than in the world of chovel. Chovel is that which was not meant to be. Here we're dealing with that which was meant to be, but not in this manner. So the Torah very much tried to deter such a crime with the payments that are involved. To a certain degree, the payments would even be more than the chovel. But the payments are not part of the world of chovel. They're part of the world of ones. That when you decide to take into your hands how these besulim are going to be removed, you have to pay this knas, and you have to pay the pgam, and you have to pay the boshes, and again, if it's done against your will, you have to pay the tsar, etc. So we have payments that are parallel to the world of chovel, but they are coming from a world of ones as opposed to a world of chovel. Okay? Chovel is that which was never meant to be injured. Here we're dealing with something that was meant to be to be removed, but not in this way, not in this time, not by this person. Yes?
So maybe would it not for me to be like somebody's, you know, somebody before breast, you know, removes the foreskin before the breast, which you know is meant to be removed, but you didn't want it to happen, you know, day four, you wanted it to happen on day eight. So that person would be pretty high for the German, but not in a general solo, but a different, like, from a different standpoint.
We don't have such a category. That's the, in other words, you're correct that you're dealing with a situation where a person's opportunity to do a bris milah for a son would be preempted by a doctor's surgery. That doctor certain goes in without asking the father on the third day, removes the foreskin. Right? Then comes time for the bris, the mole opens up the diaper, and says, hey, So the reason that we do not include is because there is a concept of hatafat dam bris, that even, in other words, but theoretically, right, you're talking about the fact that would not be chovel, it would come under a different category. It would come under a category of preempting a mitzvah. And that's what's spoken of. Let's say even if you have a person who has a son who's 8 days old, and the person decides, I want to have a bris at 2 p.m. and arranges for a moel, and then someone will go in at 9 a.m. and say, I don't want this bris to be at 2 p.m. and do a bris now at 9 a.m. Reason makdimin. In other words, so he's taking away the mitzvah of the pot. So there, the Gemara speaks about there is a knas for taking away someone's mitzvah. Right? So there's a knas. But you're correct that is, it's not considered to be chovel. So here also, this would not be considered to be chovel, it would come under the world of ones. So one nafgamina is that in this case, this is not the beferish ribsa Torah. This is not part of the exception, this is part of the rule. That when malchus are on the table, the malchus would override the payments. When malchus is not on the table, there was no hasra, then we would have these payments. That's the way, that would be issue number one. But the Or Sameach pointed out that there's another nafgamina that sort of answers up another difficult Rambam, namely viewing it from this perspective that we have over here, parallel payments, but not in the parasha of Chovel, would also help us in a different realm. Up to this point, is it clear? I'm sorry, yes?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm clear on something. So she's not, the woman in this case is not necessarily collecting because her children were removed, because that was going to happen anyways at a certain point in time. Basically, she has a right to choose when and with who, et cetera. And so she's charging because he forced upon her that right at this point in time when she didn't necessarily want to.
Right, and in other words, and when it comes to the person that she really wants to marry, so in his eyes, in other words, the whole, you know, her whole being has been changed already beforehand, etc. That to a certain degree, that's a lowering of value, and she deserves a compensation for that. You're correct, yeah, 100%. There's another Rambam that Wilchora we have a stira, but that the same line of reasoning would override the stira. The Funuz one more perek, the perek Hei Hilchos Chovel Mazik, the Rambam moves over to the world of of moda biknas. We have a general principle, moda biknas is patur. Within the world of chamisha dvarim, how do we view nezek tzar ripui sheves boshes? Are these mamon or are these knas? Do we have over here a payment for a compensation for a loss? That's how we would define normally mamon. Or do we have knas? Do we have something which is which is with for whatever reason is different in compensation? It's not clear compensation. So the Rambam says that we divide these five into two categories. Hoda hachovel shehu chaval. When he is moda, in a situation where there are no edim, then patur min hanezek umin hatzar v'chayav b'shevet boshet v'ripui. What does that mean about the categories of mamon and knas? Which of these chamisha dvarim are mamon and which are knas? Nezek and tsa'ar are considered to be knas, as opposed to sheves, boshes, and ripui that are considered to be mamon. Okay. So to call these three, let's take them one by one. The Rambam defines that Sheves, Ripui, and Boshes come under the world of Mamon, while Nezek and Tsar come under the world of Knas. So Sheves, that's unemployment benefits. Someone was, in other words, his nose was broken, he missed 3 days of work because he was in the hospital, he gets the compensation for those 3 days that he missed. That's mamon, correct compensation. Ripui, he got a bill from Chadar Miyun, from the doctors, etc. All of that was money he had to put out because his fellow broke his nose. That's compensation. Boshes, he underwent a degree of embarrassment walking around where everyone said, hey, what happened to you? You walk into a door, your wife hits you, or whatever. In other words, he was embarrassed walking around looking the way he looks, okay? So he gets compensated for that, in other words, in a very, very mida keneged mida, that if he was a Supreme Court justice, then his boshes would be greater than had he been a Bowery bum. Okay, so we have boshes. All of these are compensation, and so in all of these areas, even if the chovel is moda, he still has to pay. Hodah doesn't remove the chiyuv of paying for these three areas. However, in terms of nezek and tsar, these are considered to be knas. Why is that? After all, isn't the nezek also something that we take this person with a broken nose? We say, had you been an eved and you were on the, in an auction, had you not had a broken nose, someone would have paid for you $3,000, and with the broken nose, he's only willing to pay $2,500 because you can't blow your nose, and you're going to get, you can't work, and this and that, etc. And who has in? In terms of the tsar, we ask someone, how much would you be? We're going to break your nose. Would you like it to be done in a hospital under total anesthesia, or would you rather that we just break your nose? I mean, how much would you pay for that difference? That's the tsar that the person is getting. Why are these called knas as opposed to mamon? Isn't this also compensation? Yes?
The Rambam says because in nezek and tsar, these are extra payments that you're making to the person, but shevet and ripui, he lost money because he lost the wages that he would have had, and the ripui, he lost the...
Okay, so let me give an example. He lost his arm. You cut off his arm. He lost his arm. Isn't that compensation for the arm? He's in terrible pain. Isn't there also a concept of compensation for pain? Why do we view this as knas, yes?
One can maybe explain this quote that when dealing with nezek and tsar, those are things that are done now at the shas nezek or shas whatever, chavalah, and then they're gone. The other things that, such as boshes, ripui, and shevet, I think they're potentially going to be ongoing. If a person loses their arm, they're going to going to be, or a doctor, or whatever it is, they're going to be, that those things are going to constantly be there.
Some yes, some no. I mean, you know, it depends on the nature of the injury. Some injuries, you know, words are not something that are going to affect the person forever. Others are not. But it's all, in words, but why, when we, in all of these, there is a way of figuring out how much is paid, which is going to be commensurate to that which happened. So isn't that called compensation, when you are paid commensurate to what to what happened? Why distinguish between boshes and tsar? Why distinguish between nezek and riput? In all of these, you know, we have objective manners of determining compensation. We don't. This is not chamishim shekel. Everyone understands chamishim shekel is knas. Shloshim shekel for an eved that is killed is knas. It's irrelevant whether this eved was cutting diamonds or he was weeding fields. You say shloshim. That's a knas. When we have a set payment that everyone understands is a knas. Everyone understands that kefel is a knas because we're dealing over here with a double. I stole $100. I returned 200. Right, that's a knas. Why over here, when we are compensating for the loss of an arm or compensating for tsar, is that called knas? Yes.
Maybe it has to do with whether the payment is as a result of the criminal or the victim. In the case of the knas, it's because you are someone who is damaging, so we are punishing you for being a damager, and we are punishing you for causing somebody, and we are punishing you for causing someone pain. You are compensating him. When it's a compensation, that's when it's money. You're compensating him for the loss of health, the loss for being embarrassed, and for the loss of work.
I think all of what you're saying is correct. But in other words, everything that Yitzhak said, and there was just one tip, all of that is correct, but there's more of an overriding principle, and this is my shia that I didn't send you to the Rambam because I sort of took for granted that you knew it. How does the Torah use, what terminology does the Torah use when it wants to describe the payment of chovel, payment of nezek? How does the Torah describe the payment? No, shishon yitain is shevet, rapo yirape is right? Ayin tachas ayin, yad tachas yad, right? In other words, regel tachas regel. In other words, the Torah uses terminology which implies what? Just to read it in the Rambam, go back to Perek Aleph of Hilchos Chovel Umazik. In the very, very beginning of Hilchos Chovel Umazik, after the Rambam lists the five things that you pay, he points out that Halacha Gimel. We don't take the Torah literally over here, eye for an eye, pound of flesh for pound of flesh. That's what theoretically should be. Namely, you have to realize that there is no compensation possible for a loss of an arm or a loss of a limb. L'fikach mishalem nizko. In other words, what you are paying is in lieu of that which you really deserve. You in no way can make a compensation monetarily for taking away for an injury. V'harehu omer lo tikru kofer l'nefesh rotzeach. The Torah says we're not allowed to redeem punishments. So the answer is, l'nefesh rotzeach l'vadhu de'en bo kofer, avol cheson evorim o chabolos yesh bo kofer. Meaning what you are paying is not damages. There's no way that you can pay damage. There's no way you can compensate someone for sa'ar or for the nezik that was done. You are giving something instead. In other words, that we have over here, not a compensation. These are compensation. Over here, this is not compensation. This is, the Torah says, there's no way you could pay compensation. So instead of paying compensation, pay this and pay this in this manner. So according to the Rambam, this is what we're going to define as knas, because it's an area that doesn't lend itself to compensation. No one wants to feel pain. People don't, you know, pay money not to feel pain. No one wants to lose a limb even or to have something broken even temporarily. There's no way of compensating for it monetarily. But we, you know, the Torah says, well, what are we going to do? Take out your eye? So instead of that, we're going to put upon you a certain redemptive payment. We're going to call that a knas, right? That's nezek and tsar. Now, gemina is in terms of hodah. Okay, fine. The problem is that we have a mishnah that deals with a ones, that deals with a rapist, and there are no edim, and he is moda. It's a mishnah later on, and the Rambam paskins like that mishnah. I'm sorry that I did send you to in Hilchos Nara Besula, Perek Beis, Halacha Yudeis. So you could see the mishnah yourself. If you don't have to look at the Rambam. The Rambam paskins like the mishnah. Look on the Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. Ha'omer pititi esbito shel ploni mishalein boshes upigam al pi atzmo ve'eno mishalein kinas. So in the world, this is in the world of Chovel. In the world of Ones, we have a knas of Chamishim Kesef, and we have Boshes Upagam. Pagam is Nez, Boshes is Boshes. And the Rambam over there says that these are that even if a person is Moda, he still pays Boshes Upagam. He doesn't pay Knas, but he pays Boshes Upagam. Namely, that in the world of Ones, we consider Nezek to be Mamon, and in the world of Chovel, we consider Nezek to be Knas. What's going on over here? We just explained that Nezek, there's no way of paying. No one wants to lose a limb. There's nothing commensurate. Ayin takas ayin. In other words, the only thing would appear to be would be a form of revenge, which is not, the Torah says, no. But you pay money to redeem that which you did. You pay kain of kofir, that they call nezik, that's a knas. Why over here is it mama? No, so you be the or sameach.
You said before, the pagam is part of the category of something that you're exchanging for, so it's more mama.
That here we're dealing with the fact that the betulim were going to be removed. Every woman wants to be nivelet. But she wants to be nivelet by her choice. She wants to choose who is going to be boel her, at what point in her life, under what circumstances. We're not dealing over here with that which was not meant to be. We're dealing here with that which was meant to be, but someone, you know, took that away from her. That is something that has a monetary value. That is something that from which she can be compensated. So the distinction that we have between chovel and ones, that this pagam is part of the world of ones. This pagam is part of the world of chovel. So one nafkamina is mishalim or ma'arvo. Okay, we deal with this is part of the world of kol haTorah kula. This is the Teirush Mitzvah Torah. And the second nafkamina is in terms of categorization. In the world of chovel, nezek and tsar are part of the world of ayin tachas ayin. That payment is impossible. Within the world of ones, the pagam and the boshes are part of a world that is that she wants, but she just wants it in a different way, in a different manner, at a different time, etc. Both of them are crimes, but the nature of the payments differ in terms of the two. So over here we have the Rambam being Lushitaso. That's what the Or Sameach points out. All of this is pointed out by the Kilas Yaakov that I sent you to. He in addition wants to add in one more factor, that you can take it or leave it. It's not necessary to say that which shows that these payments are not classic chovel payments is that classic chovel payments should go to the victim. And who do these payments go to in the world of the Torah?
To the father.
Mm-hmm. that is not an easy, this is something we discussed already in terms of what is the relationship between the daughter and the father. Are these payments going directly to the father? That's a good proof that, you know, chovel, you pay to the victim. If you're paying to the father, then it's a whole different world. But if we have the fact that it's really going to the daughter, but then the father gets it because of Shevach Nurin, so really, that's not a raya. So we want to point that that was Malchukas Rishonim. But in the section in the Kilas Yaakov, the Stifler, he tossed that in also in terms of a way of distinguishing between Ones and Chovel. But again, it's not necessarily, in my humble opinion, a good point of order within the distinction. Okay, so any questions? Okay, let's go back to the Gemara and Daf Lamed Gimel and just see the introduction to the next sugya, if possible. Rav Eliezer Omer. Rav Eliezer Omer, I should read it properly. It should be Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar Omer. Rav Elazar Omer, Edim Zomimim, what? What? Okay. Rav Elazar Omer, Edim Zomimim, Mamona Mishalem, Milka lo laki, mishum the lav b'nei hasra aninhu. In other words, again, eid zomeim, everyone agrees that he pays money. The question is, why does he pay money? According to Ula, because that's the rule. B'chola tarakula, whenever there's malkos and mamon, you always pay money. According to Rav Yochanan, this is an exception to the rule, the feirish rib satora. According to Rav Elazar, no, it's not the rule, and it's not the exception to the rule. But we have another rule. We have a rule that you never get malkos without a hasra'ah. And in Eidim Zomamim, since there's no hasra'ah, that's why there's no malkos. It has nothing to do with mamonu malkos as being a rule, being an exception. It's for, you're off on a technicality. You can't have malkos without hasra'ah, and Eidim Zomamim lav b'nei hasra'ah nidhu. But Rav Elazar never explained himself. Why are Edim Zomim Lav B'nei Hasra'ah Ninhu? And so here we have Rava and Abaye, each of them giving their 2 cents. Rava Amar Rava Teda Nisri Behu Emas. That the problem in Eid Zomim is at what point can we give Hasra'ah? Nisri Behu Meikara. If we give Hasra'ah before they give Eidus, before meaning a while before, then Amre Ishtalid, then they can claim that when they gave the Eidus, they forgot about the Hasra. Nisrei Behu Bish'as Ma'aseh, which is the norm. Normally you see someone about to light a cigarette on Shabbos. So as he's holding the match, before he strikes it, you say to him, don't you realize that if you strike that match, there's a malacha d'oraisa called Lo Tavaru Eish B'chomo Shoseichem B'yom HaShabbos, and there's a Chiyuv Misa? And he said, yeah, I know. That's a hasra, right? So why don't we do that today, Edim Zomamim? When they're on the witness stand, just say, you should just know that if you're lying, then whatever you're saying about that person is going to go back on you. So then, the Parashay V'lo Misadeh, we would never have a case of a Zomim if we were to put it in front of their face in that manner. And if you ask, who cares? So we won't have a case of it. Isn't that great?
Why would we not have a case of it?
In other words, we would tremendously limit the individuals who know exactly what their fate is likely to be if it is put in that manner. But, you know, it's, again, who cares? I mean, you know, like, that is... Why would an Eid Zomim be different than a Machal Shabbos? Or, I mean, it's a good question. Anyone have an answer to it?
Well, yeah. I mean, someone's Machal Shabbos is obviously taking a short-term gain so they can get, but he's getting a long-term loss. You know, in this situation, it's very different because there's no benefit of him doing anything because the second he accuses them, the person's going to go off scot-free, but they're going to get punished. So, I don't see.
But, I mean, we would assume normally that Edim Zomimim would be hired hands, right? That they would be hired by the plaintiff to try and get the defendant. You know, they would be getting also, I guess, a short-term gain, right? In know, it's no.
It either works or it doesn't work. Like, not like if it doesn't work, they haven't accomplished anything.
If it doesn't work, they haven't accomplished anything.
I mean, they might have gotten their money. Somebody says, "Hey, I need you to lie for me. I'm going to give each of you $500." So good, they got $500 in their pocket. They go and say they lied, whether the guy's guilty or not. They don't care. They got their money. They don't care if they get found out.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that it would undermine Eidos, because it, for Eidim who are lying, it's true they're lying in paper. For Eidim who are real Eidim, they're not getting anything out of it. So if you don't have any benefit from your true testimony, but you have this tremendous risk of if two other Eidim come in and say that your Eidim's only, then you're going to be killed, then why would you ever testify the Klal?
In other words, that the...
I mean,
in other words, that's pretty much, I think you're 100%, that's what Rashi is saying. Namely, we're not afraid of deterring Edom Zomim. We'd be happy to deter Edom Zomim, but we don't want to deter Edom. We don't want real Edom not to give testimony because they could get hurt. Namely, they, a real aid has nothing to gain, and here we're telling him, but you have everything to lose. That's what Rashi is afraid. Parashiv l'misadei afilu emes. Namely, even if they're really telling the truth, they would take a step back. In other words, that if they view it that they're going to be cross-examined because they are suspect to lying, so I don't, in other words, I want to be a good Samaritan, but I want to be treated like a good Samaritan. I want it to be treated with kid gloves. I want to be, you know, was sequestered in a hotel room. I don't want to be put in jail. You know, for being a good Samaritan. I don't want to suffer for being a good Samaritan. I want to feel that I have a certain degree of self-respect. If you're telling me, look, you know, it's we, you know, it's, you should just know that 50-50 is telling the truth. And if you're lying, then it's very likely that we're going to punish you. That's very different than the use where it says the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We don't do that either in a court of justice. But that. You know, whereas it's sort of, we're putting you on your honor. Here, in other words, but with this warning, it could deter good Edim from giving Edus. They have enough reason to be deterred. Who knows what the mafia is after them, etc. But that the court system itself would suspect them, that could also, so therefore, the immediacy, in other words, certainly we're going to have to give a hasra if you want there to be a deterrent. But if we give the Asura too far in advance, so then they could claim that they forgot it. If we give it immediately, we could be throwing out the baby with the bathwater. We could be throwing out the good Edim along with the bad Edim. Yes?
Anybody who opens the Torah can read the Pasuk about Edim Zomim and know. Just like anybody who reads the Torah will know that they're not supposed to light up fire on Shabbat. So, okay, everybody knows that. Hashem, I guess, assumes that everybody should know the Torah, basically, and then sometimes the Yetzer Hara gets you, and then that person's going to go, and then, therefore, that's why he's warned a second time. However, it's assumingly that a person should know, I'm not supposed to lie under oath, or I'm not supposed to lie. So they already know this, so why would that be such an issue to right before a person gives... You know, they would say, listen, just to remind you that something that you already assumingly know, that you can get in major trouble, so make sure before you say anything that you're not lying.
In other words, I would do the following. The protocol of giving hasra'a is lahafkin ben shogeg umezid. Who does one give hasra'a to? One gives hasra'a to a person who we view as about to be over an avera. So were the hasra'a to be given to the Edim the same way that's given to a potential Machalal Shabbos or to a potential eating trace, etc., it means that we are viewing them as potential avaryanim. In other words, that we are viewing them as the person who's holding the ham sandwich. We are viewing them as the person who's holding the match. We are viewing them as the person who's holding a gun and about to shoot someone. That we're giving them the exact same hasra'a as we would give to these three other people in the exact same time. You're correct. Were we to give it in advance, that would remove that parallelism, right? If we were to give it a day before the Aegis, Right? That's not the way you give a hasra to a potential murderer or to a potential eater of treif or to a potential boel nida v'chulei v'chulei. There you do it immediately. So if you were to do it in advance, we would take away that comparison. But on the other hand, he could claim, I forgot the hasra when I gave the edus. But if we do it immediately, then we are viewing them in their eyes as potential avaryanim, and that could take away the proper edim as well as weeding out the improper edim. That's, you know, so that's what Rava say. Rava's pointing out, when are we going to give the hasra? Meikara, it won't work. Bishas Maisa, we're going to destroy good edim. Libasof, if we give it to the hasra right after they gave the edus, Maida have. In other words, it's a meaningless hasra. A hasra has to be to prevent that which is being done. What good will it do to give a hasra afterwards? It won't have any meaning. So therefore, says Rava, Eidim Zomamim are off on a technicality. We can't give them hasra'os for reasons A, B, and C, and so there's no hasra. If there's no hasra, then there's no malkos. That's why there's no malkos. That's why Eidim Zomim pay. Eidim Zomim pay because there's no possibility of giving malkos, because malkos require hasra, and here, technically, we can't give hasra. Yes?
I don't understand why Levasov isn't a good way to do hasra by Eidim Zomim, because with Shabbos, it's a bin adam l'makom, and there's a celestial issue with your avira. But here, if you give the warning afterwards, and they say, yes, you're right. Okay, we were Eidim Zomim. Then all is good.
That's what Rashi points out. Rashi says, "Ma'ida have." Previously, you were mechavin to Rashi, so you should be mechavin to Rashi. Ma'ida have, kevan shehigid eno chozer umagid enem yecholim lachzor. Rashi points out that they can't retract. Halachically, they can't retract. That once an aid gives, or it's part of the world of edus, is that we tell them, you just know that the story that you're saying currently is going to be written down. You know, it's going to, in our minds, and you can't change your mind. So even if they want to change their mind, even if you have touched their conscience by telling them that if you're Eidim Zomimim, you're going to get punished, and they say, you know, it's, you're right, we want to take a step back. So because of these halach, you know, hasra is no good if it's too far in advance, and hasra afterwards is no good because they can't retract. Hasra immediately before is no good because it'll knock off good Eidim. So Rabbi says we can't give hasra. Abaye finds a chink, is that what it's called, in the armor of Rava. Maskif lo Abaye v'nisrei behu v'toch kedei dibor. It's not true that which you said, kevan shehigid shuvei nochozer umagid, totally. It is true if there is a break in time. How long is the break in time? Three words, right? Shalom Alecha Rebbe. But if there is no break in time, they immediately can change. Just like we know, you know, that you said the same bracha, and then you say the same talamat over the bracha. You said more time, mashiv bracha, more gosha. Right? So we have this concept of toch kedei dibur, you can change your mind. And it's considered, you say, borim, oh, in other words, shakol ni abidvara. And you're holding a cup of Coke, and somehow your mind is somewhere else, and you intend to make a bracha on the Coke. But somehow out of your mouth came Borim and Imazonos. Oh, in other words, Shakol Niyabizbor. You have to repeat the entire bracha. We say that you have that ability to erase and to delete and replace. Okay? So Abayi says, so that ability exists. Ravacha Bereid Ravika Nisri Behu Meikara V'nir Behu Remise. We can give the Hasra'a yesterday, and then right before the Eidah said, by the way, remember what we spoke about yesterday, right? In other words, remember the green paper. Remember, in other words, again, not to give the formal hasra all over again, because then you're going to push away the proper edim, but that which you mentioned yesterday, remind them of it currently, and then they can't claim that they forgot. Hadar mar Abaye, Rav Milsahi. But then Abaye took a step back. In other words, he seems to have one point to destroy Rava's argument. Namely, there really is a possibility of hasra. There really is. But then he says, the Amre Isaka Daitach Eden Zon Mitzrichim Hasra Ki Lo Masrinan Behu Lo Katlinan Lehu Mi Ika Midi De Inhu Boi Kotel Belo Hasra The Inhu Boi Hasra Ha Be Inan Vasisem Lo Kasher Zamam Lasos Lo Achiv The Leka. What is Abaye pointing out? That even though he seems to have destroyed Rava on the technical plane, on the technical plane it is possible to give Hasra'ah. We have two scenarios, but the Etzem, Rava is correct, not on the technical plane, but what? On what plane? Not on the practical plane. Practically, we could give Hasra'ah, but what would giving Hasra'ah do? It would destroy the Kasher Zama. They wanted to frame someone without warning, so now we're going to warn them before punishing them. They wanted to give a punishment without warning, and now they're going to be warned. Namely, to create the tit for tat, to create the kasher zamam, we can't have a hasra in the picture. We want the circumstances to be that which they wanted to befall someone else, that person would be punished, whatever, paying money, malkos, misa, whatever, without warning. That's what's supposed to come on them. That's what takes away the hasra. Then we built into the world of Eid Zomim, there is no hasra. Not because of a technicality. Is there a difference between Abaye and Rava? I mean, there's a difference, in other words, whether we're talking about something technical or talking about a principle. In terms of Rav Elazar, let's go back to Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar Amar Id Mizomim Mimamona Meshalmi Milka Lolaki Mishum Dolav Bnei Hasra Aninhu. Does Rav Elazar's statement make sense both according to Abaye and Rava, only according to Rava, only according to Abaye, according to neither?
Bnei Hasra means that they have to be capable of receiving Hasra, and according to Abaye, they really could receive Hasra, but they don't need to in order to become Eidim Zomim.
In other words, Rav Elazar's statement is being explained by whom? Rav Elazar is an earlier generation Amora. He is being explained by which later generation Amora? That's what Rashi says. Look in Rashi. Lav Bnei. I just
don't see it. This
milk,
right?
I'm sorry. The Rashi Maskud the Rav Bnei Hasra Ninu Kodem Edus Kidem Efaresh Rava VaOzil, namely that the Gemara is bringing Rav Elazar and then brings a machlokis between Abaye and Rava. Is Rav Elazar correct? According to Rava, Rav Elazar is correct. In other words, that Edim Zomimim are in the parsha of Hasra. They should get Hasra. They're a regular lav. Every lav should get Hasra, but technically they can't. And that's why they don't get Malkos, because they should get Hasra, and they can't. Don't get Malkos. Mashenken, according to Abaye, the fact that Eidim Zomim are lav b'nei Hasra, that's not a reason not to give them Malkos. That's a reason to give them Malkos. Namely, the lav b'nei Hasra is to create the parsha of Eid Zomim. It's not that they're off on a technicality. Eidim Zomimim, the world of Hasra, is not shayach to them. The world of Hasra is not shayach to them. That's not a reason to pater them from Malkos. So this is, in other words, Rashi understands that Rava is coming over here, Teda. He's coming to prove that Rav Elazar is correct. But Abaye, even after he knocked off Rava on a technical plane, and then he said, but Hadar Amar Abaye, Lav Milsahi means Lav Milsahi means that the whole technical realm is irrelevant. That the whole world of Hasra is irrelevant to Eidim Zomimim. That's the way Rashi learned. I'm not aware if anyone in the Rishonim is cholek on Rashi. There's a ra'ah. The ra'ah says, "Mishum de Rav Nasra Ninu, imishum de Rava, imishum de Abaye." That both Rava and Abaye are explaining Rav Elazar. Mikoma kom kevan shem em hasra tulo tzrichi kra. The moment Meshalim v'lo laki kevan diika bo shtei rishayos yeshu kaima lachad minayu apshita dahi asya. Etc. How does it work out according to Abaye? Ahamar Abaye Rav Milsi da Amrei Hachi Nuska de Sifro Perusha Mishum Pircha da Abaye la Rabba da Amar da Lo Esher la Meva Behu Hasra Vimkein Mena Lon Tu da Lo Boi Hasra Ema da Boi Hasra Rav Milsi da Amrei da Vada Ema Zomim Lo Tzrichi Hasra da Inu Boi la Mikli Behu Hasra Ubina vasisa mokasher samasos lachiv. Vakatai bein la abaye bein la rava de holakulu lekein zum hasra. Rav Elazar shapir asid de mamon hu de ikol chiyuve de asi behu mi dina. How would we learn according to the Rav? Yes?
The Hasra doesn't mean that Rav Elazar holds if there is no Hasra, then there are no malchus. Not if they are Bnei Hasra.
If there is no Hasra, there are no malchus.
Both fronts are by Rav, there is no Hasra. According to Rav, it's because you can't do it, technically. According to Rav, it's because you don't have.
So, and just to understand, what's the machlokas over between Rashi and the Ra'ah? Rashi understands that Rav Elazar works out to Mefarish Rava. That Rava explains that really eight zomim are in the parsha of Hasra'ah, like every lav in the Torah, but technically they can't get Hasra'ah, and therefore there are no malkos. According to Abaye, eight zomim are not in the parsha of Hasra'ah by the nature of eight zomim. And in other words, so why would their lack of Malkos, in other words, why wouldn't they still get Malkos? They can't get Hasra because that would be a Hafkar of Eid Zomim, but the Malkos would be a Kiyam of Eid Zomim. Why? He uses the phrase, Rav Elazar Shapir Asya, the Mamon Hu the Ika the Chiyuvinhu, the Asi Behu Midina. Lek Abin Zomim Ben Labaye Ben Larava, the Kuhu Lek Abin Zomim Hasra. Okay. Rav Elazar Shapir Asya, the Mamon Hu the Ika the Chiyuvinhu, the Asi Lahu Midina. That according to the Ra'ah, Torah tells us that Eidim Zamanim Pei Kasher Zaman, namely that we have Mamon below Malchus. We saw up to now two understandings. According to Uldah, this is the rule. And it extends, this rule is in Eidzomen, it's in Chovel, and because of Tapas, we move it over to Ones, and maybe it even goes further. That's Malchus Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rabbi Yochanan, this is the exception. The favorite Rishus HaTorah. Now we have Rabbi Elazar. We have one Amora, another Amora, a third Amora. He says the reason for Mamon Malkos has nothing to do with rules and exceptions when we have Mamon and Malkos. The rule is that you get Mamon. According to Rabbi Yochanan, when you have Mamon and Malkos, the rule is that you get Malkos. But this is the exception to the rule. This is the rule. This is the rule. Now we have Rabbi Elazar who says, forget about rules and exceptions. Right? If we have a principle that over here we get Mamon and not Malkos, because you get Mamon because Malkos, you can't get it. Kaser Hasra. So we interpret it according to Rashi, that since you should have Hasra over here, because Malkos, Pachalos, Tabrakula require Hasra, and there's no Hasra, that's why you don't get Malkos. Nothing to do, you can't prove anything from what should be in Chovel, what should be in Ones, what should be elsewhere, that this is a totally different world. This is a world that you can't get Hasra technically. Mashenka, and according to Abaye, the lack of Hasra, that's the whole nature of Kasher Zaman, that there has to be an equation between what they wanted to do to the victim and what is going to befall them. However, according to the Ra'ah, we say that Malkos are Yashar Choser Hasra technically, or Choser Hasra Ekroni, that's the reason to take off Malkos. And therefore you get Mamon. But that brings us back, l'chora, to Ula. Namely, that if we take Malkos out of the picture, then the Mamon, or they say, look, point to everything. In other words, what we are doing over here, that doesn't, okay, I don't understand. Rashi understands that when we're dealing with a case where we should have Malkos, but technically we should have Malkos, but Malkos requires a Hasra, and we should have a Hasra, but technically we can't have a Hasra, that's why we don't get Malkos. But over here, we're off on a technicality. So the Mamon is not because of a rule, it's simply the whole rule is when you have Mamon and Malkos on the table. Here, Malkos aren't on the table. Because technically you can't give a Hasra. But according to Rashi, according to Abaye, the fact that there's no Hasra, that's built into the Malkos. That's built into the Parsha. That's not a reason to say that the Malkos fall off. That's built into the Parsha. That we want to create a scenario for the Edim that will be similar to the scenario they created for the victims, for the people being framed. People being framed didn't have Hasra, so therefore they don't get a Hasra. But what would that have to do with Malkos or not? According to the Ra'ah, even if it's built into the world of Eidzomen, that's enough to say that the lack of Hasra should knock off the Malkos, and then we're left with Mamon. But why? I'm sorry, yes?
Is it possible there's just a rule in Onshin, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that if there is no Hasra, then you cannot get Malkos? Regardless of the fact that in Eidim Zomamim, the definition of Eidim Zomimim precludes Hasra, so then you're stuck, because Eidim Zomimim says we can't have Hasra because then you can never accomplish Kesher Zomim. But the Lachas of Omshim hold that you need to have Hasra in order to get Malchus, so Eidim Zomimim can't come up.
Okay, maybe. Yes, we do get Malchus in that situation. But that's, you know, where it's, as you pointed out, that there is not shy to have the classic Kasher Zaman. But Bechor, in that case, there's also no need of Hasra. There's also no need of Hasra. So the Malchus, we do have the Malchus you're pointing at. I don't know. Okay, the Gemara then just to continue a few more lines, just moves over to that world. Elamei Atza ben Gush ben Chalutza, the Lomika Shezam Am Kamis Rabbi Liboy Hasra. So the Gemara answers, Mishpat Echad Yelachem, namely that Liboy Hasra. This question is on whom? In other words, if we say that the whole reason for the lack of Hasra, according to Abaye, is to create a scenario of Kasher Zaman, so if that scenario is not necessary, because they're going to get Malchus, not Monim, so then we should require Hasra, so then we have it's simply a rule that we look good. We deal with Islam in the same manner, whether the punishment is going to be Kasher Zaman, whether the punishment is going to be Malchus, we're always going to deal with it in the same manner. Okay, we'll stop over here. I'd like you to see the Gemara Rav Shesha Bered Rav Idi. This is for Sunday, right? So Rav Shesha Bered Rav Idi, up to the two dots on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. It's not a difficult Gemara. Called easy Gemara. Okay, we'll learn basically again Gemara Rashi and Tosfos up to the two dots on Lamed Gimel and Beis. There may be one or two Rishonim I'll bring in, so I'll give you a page tomorrow on Birtzah Hashem. Okay, we'll do that.